This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% by using the code FIT10 at checkout. Just throw that in the comments section and you'll save 10%. This week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 84. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Jimmy Smith from www.ineedmuscle.com.
And also, Jimmy, I mean, you had your product come out this past, it's a couple days ago right now. We're talking on Sunday, so, and it came out on Thursday. So
it did come out on Thursday. It did.
How's that been?
It's been good. It's been a lot of work, you know, because you never know what to expect until you get into it and do it. You know, and, you know, that's kind of, it was a little tough, but, I love it. Like, I love the fact that I'm getting a ton of people that email me and tell me how much they personally have enjoyed it and how much it's personally helped them and you know, what they got out of it. So, it's been some work, but, you know, I appreciate everybody, you know, who went out and purchased the product. We had a really good turnout with a very limited number of people, you know, putting it out there. Only Charles Staley and yourself, Kev, put it out there right now. And, you know, we're going to have some other people that are on board the product doing some stuff soon, too. So it'll be making some noise. I had a couple really encouraging emails from some of the some people in the fitness industry that, you know, enjoyed the product, too. So, like, you know, it's been a lot of work, but you know what? I'm just happy for it, and I'm happy it's out there. And most importantly, I'm happy that I could bring this information to people, because the thing is, like, the whole point of the product was to give people a no BS approach to building muscle. Like, I think a lot of the stuff, and I had this conversation with, you know, another really well-known trainer who sells a well-known product yesterday, that everything's fluffy because everything has to appeal to the general population. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're better than the general or anything. All I'm trying to say is that there's a lot more than just, you know, lift with full body training and train hard 3 or 4 days a week and you'll grow. There's a lot of other factors that can go into it, you know, and that's why each, you know, interview was aimed at discussing something different. You know, it was discussing, you know, zinc and magnesium or thyroid or hormonally balancing your eating or, you know, how to cycle carbs and grow. I mean, there's just so much out there that, you know, can be touched on that the average person and the quote unquote advanced person, if there is such a thing, can benefit from. So actually I messed up, and this is, again, you know, my bad, because I'm not an advanced marketer, you know, and I'm not in that world, but
well, this is still your first product, so.
Well, it's still my first product, but you know what I did is
we'll
that.
We'll give you a pass.
You know, I ran, you know, everybody for 3 days had the ability to get the product for $47, which is really dirt cheap for what I was, you know, for the information I was giving away. But what happened was is I forgot to submit a form to the electronic digital place that sells the product. So I wanted to raise the product to $67, and now I can't for at least, you know, another day or two until the place, you know, confirms my request. So I guess everybody can kind of, it says $67 on the page, but if you go there now, you'll get it for $47. So that's kind of just my mistake, but, it, you know, it works out in everybody else's favor.
Not bad. I mean, if people missed out this past weekend or they're just getting to it late, make sure to check that out. There's a link for it. I'll throw a link for it in the show notes so you can just head to the show notes. And also, we did our very first bonus episode of the FitCast on your product. And seems like a lot of people downloaded that and liked it. So you can check that out as well at thefitcast.com. I'm still trying to decide whether I'm going to put those bonus episodes in the iTunes feed.
Or if I would.
I'm thinking about it.
Because, I mean, a lot of people email me with confusion saying, when do I get Kevin's episodes? And yeah. Like, the thing I'm trying to do with this is I'm just trying to give people as much quality as I can. Like, you know, I have some stuff coming up. Like, you know, I'm not just going to promote the product once. Like, it's going to be out there. I'm fortunate enough that I got so much excellent content from so many contributors that I can, you know, do some different things with it. So, you know, people can get on, you know, the mailing list that they can get the link through Kevin. And come on, because, you know, something special is going to be happening on Wednesday night. So, You know, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Cool. And again, for the bonus episodes, the next person that we have on tap is Holly Rigsby. So we'll be having her on probably in, I think, a week or two, because we're gonna try to set up a pretty cool promotion for all the listeners to hopefully save a good amount of cash on our product. And if you guys haven't checked it out, she's I don't know if she had it affiliated with Craig Ballantyne's TurbulenceTraining.com, but I think it's called FitYummyMummy.com.
Yeah, it was a little she was a little affiliated with Craig, but out there.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some more information about that next week, and we'll also send out a newsletter just to get some questions for the interview that I'm going to do with her. But that'll all be coming up soon. Next up in the FitCast news, I just want to quickly, actually, you know what? We'll take a quick break and we'll jump into the FitCast news. We'll be right back. All right, first off, for the FitCast news, I quickly just want to mention I took a trip to Crescent Performance this past Saturday due to a issue I'm having with my body. that's about as general as it gets, but I had to go see Eric because I've been having some low back problems. I guess we could generalize it as that. That haven't gotten better over the last 2 weeks, so I took the drive down to Hudson and checked the place out, and it's really nice. I got to see Tony, got to see Eric, and it looks like things are going great for them. So I know, Jimmy, you haven't gotten out there yet, but we're gonna have to get you down there soon to check the place out. It's they really have everything you could ever need.
Now, was that his first? Is that his first one, or is it... Because I know he has two Cressy performances now, right?
I'm not sure.
I think he did. I think he does have two Cressy performances, because I remember reading in his newsletter that another
that he had to open up another one.
Yeah, so this is probably his first one. Where is Hudson? I'm not kind of familiar with it. Is it close to Boston, or...?
It's kind of close to Boston. It was about an hour from Beverly, where I came from. It's off 495. 495 going south. Oh no, hold on. I think it's 495 going. Maybe it's going north. I'm not sure. What was I going to say? Yeah, no, it's just lost my train of thought. But it was just great to see the guys down there. Great to see the facility, and hopefully I'll be. Hopefully I won't have to go back there soon, that my back's going to be better, but I have a nice list of things from Eric to be doing over the next week or so to see if we can improve this problem that I'm having, but so far, so good. Next up, I have a video that should be online. I have the video taken, I just need to edit it. Hopefully I'll have time to edit it sometime this week, but it's a video of a homemade sled, kind of, that I made. Basically, the problem is that we don't have a sled here at school. I think I've voiced my opinion about this on the show before, but I kind of got really fed up about that. And we have some rubber courts that are next to the weight room. So I got myself and I got another trainer, and we brought about 6 plates over to the rubber court. We went and got one of those mats that, you know, people throw down on the floor to do setups on. It's just one of those, like, half-inch thick lie-down mats. I don't know what people call them. And what we did was also go to Walmart, get some rope. And I had some straps that I used for when I'm deadlifting. And we put all that together, and we made a sled that actually works, and you can use it on a rubber court perfectly. And, I mean, we went up to 8 plates on them. So it can do the job if you want to get your sled drags on. And I'm sure you can even do it on a wood court. We didn't try that because we don't want to piss off the people that run the place. But it worked well. And I'll see if I could take a video of trying it out on a wooden court to see if that works. But it's definitely something that I'm going to use once a week just to get my sled dragging in because I miss it.
Cool.
Plain and simple. I know that's kind of random. Last piece of Ficass news is that Blackstar Labs is back. They never really left us, but they got kind of busy in terms of like emails and stuff over the last couple months. And I just got in contact with them again, and they're continuing their sponsorship. So right now you can still use the code FIT10, that's FIT10, throw that in the comment section at checkout, and you can save 10% on all your orders. And I must say, I got some of their, they have a product called Casein Pro version 2.0, the chocolate flavor. Holy crap. They have a whole new formula for it. It's the best tasting chocolate protein I've ever had. And also picked up some staples like Cetaphuse. So that's always good stuff. But just want to quickly mention that you can head over to blackstarlabs.com and continue to pick up their great products. They even have some new stuff that hopefully we'll talk about in the upcoming weeks. But that's it for the FitCast news. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the mailbag. Welcome to the mailbag for this week. The first question comes from Chris Barrett, and I know, Jimmy, this is an email that was directed towards you, but we decided to throw it in the show. Excuse me. His question is, I have a question for you. I heard on a recent FitCast episode that you, Jimmy, played Division III basketball. My brother does as well. I really want him to do well his senior year. Is there any training program that you would suggest? And he says his minutes have decreased this season. I feel that strength and making his first step quicker will really help his game. Thanks. And that's from Chris.
Yeah, there's not really a specific training program I can recommend. But what I can say is to address those issues. Obviously, strength, you're going to lose it during the season. I lost it. My thing is I would always... And I got a little more in love with bodybuilding during college, but I'd always come home and I'd pack on 20, 30 pounds, some of it muscle, some of it fat, because I would just, be eating again and, stopped expending all that energy that, I'd go back to school 240, 230, end of the season I'd be like 205. The season just beats you down. And then when you're a college student, it just beats you down more. So, nutritionally, I would tell him, make sure he's getting his branch chain amino acids. Make sure he's trying to get a couple carb meals in a day, because even though I was expending so much energy, I wasn't eating as frequently as I should have, because obviously my eating habits weren't where they are now, as healthy as I was. But make sure you're getting 7-8 meals in a day, and having those carbs to replace that glycogen post-workout as an athlete. And then in terms of strength training, get in the weight room. He's going to have to do some type of hypertrophy work to – just to help the blood flow and to kind of, relieve the joints, because he can't train heavy, especially like at squats and deadlifts when he's on the court all the time. Excuse me. My body broke down a lot in college through that. So I would say make sure he's lifting about the 4 to 6 rep range, 3 to 6 rep range, to kind of make sure he's holding that muscle, keeping his strength there. He's obviously not going to be able to go for PRs in the weight room. Just to type of kind of maintain his strength. In terms of the quick step, there's nothing you can really do. I'm not going to do a ton of plyos in season. It doesn't make sense at all. I'm not going to do a lot of leg training in season at all. It's kind of like, it's really hard to develop strength qualities in season.
February. I really hope now to maintain.
Yeah. It's February now, and in Division III athletics, this is kind of, he should be getting into his conference tournaments, because We were fortunate enough to make the Division III National Tournament. Same way it is for Division I. There's a selection Sunday. There's everything. The Division III tournament is a week before the Division I tournament. So when there would be the Big East final, for example, we'd be playing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, it's the same thing. It's actually harder to get into a Division III because Division III, there's, I think, like 380, 390 Division III basketball programs, whereas opposed to Division I, where there's substantially less. In our conference in the Northeast, which was the NEC, I went to LaSalle College in Boston, for anybody that's up there, we didn't get an automatic bid. They're in a different conference now. They get an automatic bid, but we had to get an at-large bid. And in Division III, there's only 10 at-large bids in the entire nation. It's not how many teams are there now in a Division I tournament? 60, Kev? No.
For the
D1 tournament?
I think it's 60, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know. I don't watch college basketball, so.
No, there's 48. I think there's 48 for Division I. Division III got less bids. Division III started a round later, more or less, because in Division I, you have the first round, the second round, the Sweet 16. Division III was first round, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, National Championship. So there's less bids. There's more teams. There's only like 7 to 10 bids overall. So we were fortunate enough to make it. And, now at this point in the season, his season should be coming to an end. There's really nothing he can do. I mean, I hate to say it, but if the pieces weren't taken care of in the summer when they needed to be, there's not much you can do except, make sure he stays healthy because this is a tough time of year. I mean, I know even though we're getting bids and we're always in contention, we never got a bid if we won our conference tournament. We won it, but we had to play against, the Williams Colleges, which at that time were number one, number two in the country. We went up, we played Keene State when Keene State was number four in the region.
I go there, right?
Yeah, I know you go to Keene State. Okay. We went up there, we played Keene State when they were like number four. We lost them up there by like 2 points. So now it's just, I guess, stay healthy, make sure he's doing his activation work, a lot of stuff out of Mike Roberts' bulletproof knees, the glute max stuff, the glute medius stuff to make sure his knees stay healthy, and, that's that. That's all I can really say.
Just to throw in my two cents, I don't know if he's in his junior year right now and he's going to have a senior next year, but if that is the case, make sure he has proper off-season training and proper preseason training. Of course, we don't know what programs that their strength coach is giving them. Do you know what school he goes to?
No. I don't know what school he goes to at all. I don't know where he is. If it's around this area, chances are we'll know or know somebody that, knows a strength coach or is in this area to train him. If he's up in like the Boston area, Eric and Tony are up there. If he's down in this area, I'm down here. I know Chris is goes to school at Sacred Heart in Bridgeport. And I don't know in terms of anybody up in like New Hampshire area. So, shoot me out an email. Let me know like what school he goes to, Chris, and then we'll see if we can't hook him up with someone to help him work.
Yeah, and also it might be worth it for $99 to go pick up Eric Cressy's off-season training manual, and that could
that's a
great place to start when you're going to be, especially if you yourself are interested in training, you might want to create a program for him. Using Eric's off-season training manual, it's $99. So for
and Eric kind of selfishly tailored it more towards basketball players. I'm sure if he wrote it now, it'd be more baseball tailored. But at the time, he was working with more basketball guys, so it's kind of a really good. It's generalized for all sports, but he when he talks specific sports, he does it more for basketball. So
yeah, so I'll throw a link for that in the show notes, or you can just go to ericcressy.com. I mean, that should be. Pretty easy to remember.
Sure.
Next question comes from, I'll find their name in a second. Jimmy, do you want to read the next question?
I think. No, I don't actually, because I don't have the show notes open.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
It says.
I'm actually 2 seconds away from closing it.
All right.
It says, hello, open... Kevin and Jimmy. Oh,
yeah, can you read that and I'll find their name?
No, do I close the page?
All right, well, I'll read this question, and I want you to read the next question. And I'll find their name before...
Read the next question. I'll have some involvement in the show.
Okay. Hello, Kevin and Jimmy. My name is... Oh, never mind. Their name's in the... I'm an idiot. Hello, Kevin and Jimmy. My name is Marcus, and I'm a personal trainer from Sweden. of the show and listen to it all the time when I walk my dog. It's great. I really like the new music and the new logo. Every time you plug a new product or book, I must have it. Haha. So my bookcase is quite full now, and my wallet is empty. But it's great anyways. That's good. I'm glad that you're checking out some of the products that we talk about. So he says, so I have a couple of questions for the mailbag. Number one, Chad Waterbury has his set rep volume for strength, hypertrophy, fat loss, and I'm just wondering if that's something Jimmy or you, Kevin, use when you're designing training programs. So I guess, first off, he's asking, do we use this default, like, set and rep numbers for hypertrophy, strength, and fat loss?
I have to get back to the question. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to take this one first?
Oh, no, I got it. Hey, Chad, is a set rep volume for strength? No. Yeah, I mean, I keep it in mind, sure. Like, when there's good articles, you know, out there, I'll keep it in mind. But I don't go by any one golden rule. I'm not going to sit there and say so-and-so said this. You know, sure, like, I agree with a lot of Chad's stuff, you know, especially, like, his set rep volume and what he looks for. Because it's always a good thing to have a gauge of where you're going.
Are you done talking?
Yes.
Wow, you sometimes end sentences without a period.
You're not the first person to say that to me this weekend, too, and it's kind of getting to me. It's kind of actually important.
just kind of going off what Jimmy was saying. I personally, right now, I do generally use some of the default, I guess you call them, rep ranges. That's what I'm looking for. And for fat loss. But I think especially things like fat loss can be achieved with various, rep ranges. I mean, there's no reason why you can't, lose fat with sets of six or sets of eight. And I mean, that's a great range, and you don't have to go all the way up to 12 reps. But I think it does depend on a couple of factors. First off, I mean, if you're going to be, this is really going back to the basics, but if you're going to be training someone, or if you're personally training yourself and it's the first time that you've ever trained, you're not going to start with sets of three. It's just, you're not going to start with heavy sets. So, and there's a lot of things to consider, but I mean, generally there's the set and rep ranges that, that like the NSCA gives out, in their book. But I mean, there's definitely room for interpretation, when it comes to that. But do you have anything else to add, Jimmy?
Nope.
Was that all right?
That was wonderful.
Can you put your mouth up to your microphone?
Can you hear me, dude?
Yeah.
All right.
His second question, speaking of program design, do you follow a certain person's program design, like Alan, Mike Boyles, Chad, Coach Doses, or someone else's? And I know...
I'm sorry.
Well, I know, Jimmy, you probably follow Jimmy Smith's programs, right?
I follow Jimmy Smith. I mean, I
he does a pretty good job.
I think I have a good enough amount of experience to have my own one. But again, I learn from everybody. I try to learn every single day. So, you know, like when it comes to, you know, working with specific populations, you know, like if I'm working with someone who's more hypertrophy based, you know, I'll go, you know, I have a swipe file that's just purely, all training information. And, like, I'll go and I'll look, you know, what does Chad have there? So, you know, I'll look and see what he says and take it into account. A lot of times, obviously, you know, I'm writing a program where I don't have, you know, these big files in front of me. If, you know, like, if I see certain patterns, if I'm working with an athlete or with a person who, you know, has a bad glute pattern and I want to do new things to kind of get them going, then what I've done with them in the past, I'll go to strengthcoach.com and look up some, you know, Mike Boyle stuff. So it really just comes down to, you know, picking and choosing bits and pieces. I have a guy who works with me, very smart trainer, and he uses Cosgrove's 7 Habits to Highly Effective Program Design. That's an article I read 3 years ago that was absolutely, you know, blew my mind at that time, and that's the article that kind of made me transition into what I'm doing now with my career. So I just kind of follow a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, I'm a lot of the same way. I steal a lot of other people's stuff. Like there's no doubt that I look at every program I can get my eyes on, because you can always see. It's interesting to see where other people are coming from, especially when you see such like vastly different programs. Like you could look, for example, look at Charles Staley's EDT workouts, and then look at Chad Waterbury's 10 sets of 3 for fat loss workouts. I mean, both of them can be used for fat loss, but they're completely different in so many ways. And I think it's definitely something what there's nothing wrong if you're not if you don't think you're ready to design your own programs. There's nothing wrong with, you know, going into go to turbulencetraining.com and pick up Turbulence Training. I mean, it's a fantastic workout. I mean, there's pretty much there's a reason why it's such a popular program. It's because it works. That's what I said. I bought Turbulence Training when I was in my freshman year of college, and that was the first program I've ever purchased. And now I have books all over the place. I mean,
well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, I have books like New Rules of Lifting, and I have Alan's Program Design Bible. I have Eric's Off-Season Training Manual. I have Bulletproof Knees, so I can grab things and exercises from all those books and all of the programs. I mean, I even have Core Performance. I think everyone has that book by now, but that's a book I haven't looked at in a while. But I wouldn't go into Core Performance, and I wouldn't do one of those workouts, but I might take a couple things from them and use them. And same thing with like Afterburn. I don't think there's anything incredibly wrong with pre-made programs if that's what you want, and you don't feel, it's not like feeling confident enough to design your own programs, but you might just not want to spend the time to do it. So,
well, I mean, and this is kind of the reason why I put the Muscle Bible together, is that I wanted to talk with various people, not necessarily about how they design programs, but what goes into their mind when they think about certain topics. And that's, you literally get a program design plan to use here. You know, like you get this whole this form, this, you know, how to go and how to make your own muscle building plan. Like, and that's why I did it. Like the stuff I got, you know, there's two specific interviews. Charles Staley, the entire topic of his interview is program design. That's all we talk about. In Pavel, we talk about new program design concepts. We talk about different methods of periodization. Like, that's why I put this program together, because I wanted it to be the best program that was ever out there in terms of muscle building. So, like, something like that. And I'm not even trying to sell my own product. You're not going to find – if you get those interviews, if you were listening to Pavel, Charles Staley, Chad Waterbury, these guys all talk about their muscle building programs. And John Berardi and Chris Moore talk about how they design nutrition programs. You know, different. I talk about different topics, but, you know, that's the whole point there, is that, like, I like to put it together like that. So,
well put. I think we should jump into the next question. We have questions from all over the world today. I think I mentioned that the previous question was from Sweden. Yeah, I did. And the last question, Jimmy, you're going to take it. Do you have an Australian accent that you can do?
No, I don't.
All right, well, can you just read the last question?
Sure. The last question.
You can say hi, Kevin and Jimmy. Just say hi, Kevin and Jimmy.
Hi, Kevin and Jimmy. Just writing to let you know that new editing is really adding to the show. Keep up the good work, the great work. I actually haven't listened to the new editing of the show yet. So
maybe you should.
Clarify a point of discussion with Alan Cosgrove revolving HIIT intervals using a heart rate monitor. Alan mentioned the easy heart rate of 138 for fat loss and 120 for athletes in training. I'm wondering what the upper heart rate should be if your goal is fat loss. You know, example, 80% of max heart rate or 90%. Also, could you explain Mike Boyle's 30-second to 1-minute example in more detail as well? How many times per week would you be recommending this? Cheers, Francis from sunny Australia. I don't really I don't use heart rate all the time with my clients. nor do I use a percentage. So I'm not going to even attempt to try to speak for Alan on that one. All I could say is that I'm not really 100% familiar with what you're saying in terms of Mike Boyle's 30-second, one-minute.
I know. He's talking about what I talked about. He's talking about what I talked about in regards to what Mike presented on at his seminar.
All right, well, then you speak on that, Kev.
All right, well, just to attack the first part, I like using heart rate monitors because they have them for free here at my gym, so you can just sign them out, or I can just go behind the desk and take them. Not to keep, I'm just saying to borrow. And not only do I find it that it's nice to have a nice, accurate measure of your heart rate, but it's fun. It's fun to jump on the elliptical and look at your heart rate on your wrist and see how hard you can, how fast you can get it up there. But in terms, I mean, Jimmy, you could probably talk about this in terms of training at 80%, 90% of your max. If you're training at 90% of your max, you're going to get way too tired to do
oh, sure.
intervals for more than like 6 minutes.
Sure.
So I'd say the upper limit, I mean, 80%. Is if you want to get in like a good 6, 7, 8 intervals, you're probably going to have to really cut it off at 80%. Otherwise, you're going to be too tired to. You're not going to be able to recover, and you're going to be too tired to do the rest of those intervals. And in regards to Mike Boyle's 30-second, 1 minute example, I think what he's talking about is that Mike, with his hockey players, was not using the default 2-to-1 rest-to-work ratio when it came to doing intervals with his hockey players. He was instead using heart rate to determine when to stop rest and then to go back onto the work. So, I mean, basically, I think just in generality, I think he was using 120 was when you would wait until your heart rate got down to 120 until you started the work again. And he was going to around 80% of their max heart rate on their work set. So I think that's what you're talking about. If not, just email me, and I'll clarify some more, and I'll just shoot you back another email. And lastly, how many times per week would you recommend this? If it depends, of course, it depends on your goals. But I mean, I don't see people being able to keep energy levels up doing intervals more than 4 times a week. And that's if they're doing some intervals on the weight training days. But Jimmy, what do you tend to do?
With your clients,
I know you don't do intervals, but.
Yeah, I don't really do it more than 3 times a week. I usually keep them around 2. I mean, you have to remember that most people are not going to be machines like we are. You know, like most people don't even want to diet. So, you know, to get them to do cardio 3 times a week is pretty tough.
Yeah, and I mean, even if it's just going to be for 15 or 20 minutes, it's still going to be it's pretty taxing. I mean, interval training can be pretty taxing on your body for the next
it
day
ain't
or so.
It's fun, that's for sure.
It's not fun?
No. I mean, I just totally despise cardio in general, so.
All right, well, I guess you'll have to stick with basketball for now. But, yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for our show this week. I thought I had a roundtable discussion topic, but I guess I forgot to include that. So we're going to wrap up early this week. I'm sure everyone's happy to hear us stop talking. So, again, next week I will – probably in the next couple of days I'll see what we're doing in terms of setting up a guest for next week, and I think that's all we have, right, Jimmy?
That's all I got. Yep.
All right, well, again, thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. You can head over to facebook.com and you can add Jimmy and I as your friends on Facebook, and also check out the FitCast Facebook group. Join that, and until next week, I think we're gonna get out of here. So for episode number 84, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And we'll see you next week. Take care, and you know what? There's always next year for the Patriots. There is. They're gonna be stacked. right, we're starting off with the off-topic discussion again, at least for recording-wise. First off, I'm going to talk about this in the show, but we can have a little bit more of an in-depth conversation, and that's about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, good game. It was a well-fought game, and the Patriots just didn't have it. The Giants were a better team, plain and simple.
Is that all you're going to say? Because you know what, Kev?
And I'm not going to apologize to you. I didn't hurt your feelings, did I?
No, you didn't hurt my feelings. But I was sitting there after Randy Moore scored the touchdown.
The thing is, at no point during that game did I feel like the Patriots were going to win it.
No, you didn't really.
Even after that Moss touchdown, I'm like, because there was just so many drives and the Giants were holding onto the ball for so long.
Because I'm sitting there, and when David Tyree scored the first touchdown, I text Kevin. I text you with I don't know, and then you said it's not over yet. And then Moss scored the touchdown. I think you texted me with one or two messages. I don't remember what they said. And then I'm sitting there. I'm like, man, because now I went to school in Boston. I know how people are in Boston, you know, for the Pats, for the Sox. And I was like, I cannot stand if the Patriots win this guy calling me and texting me and blowing me up. I just can't stand it. So. The Giants score. I'm going crazy. The entire.
I can tell you exactly what it says. I still have it on my my phone.
Well, there's no need to, because the Patriots lost and the Giants.
Oh no! I sent you a message saying that's interception number one. I thought because my thoughts were that Eli was going to have a lot of interceptions, and he had one in the first half, but then none after that.
Yeah. I kind of figured that there was going to be some issues out there, because then two plays after it hit Steve Smith in the hands and he bobbled it was when Ahmad Bradshaw fumbled it, and then smartly he smacked it out.
Yeah.
That's when he fumbled it and then he pulled it out of the Patriots' hands. That was a game-changing play. It was a game-changing play when the Giants fumbled it, and he smacked it out of bounds, you know, because him smacking it out of bounds saved the game, because the Pats, you know, I think Asante Samuel had a clear run to the end zone. All he had to do was scoop it up. And it was an awesome game. You know, like, it was the third down of the first drive in the first quarter, and I said to my buddy who was watching it with, I said, man, Eli makes this, they're winning the Super Bowl, and you know, they did, so.
But the crazy thing is that the Patriots, there were about five plays where the Patriots could have sealed the deal on this game, and they just couldn't make that one play like that. That catch that Tyree made,
that's the best Super Bowl play of all time.
And the whole point, how Eli got out of three or four tackles. I don't know how that happened, but it was just
Eli's the truth, man. Every game in the playoffs, he kind of grew more and more. You know, he grew tougher and tougher. And
I'd still take Peyton Manning any day, and I'd still take Tom Brady over both.
Well, when you compare the numbers between Eli and Peyton over the first three or four seasons, Eli has better numbers. And I just think, you know, listen, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I'm not going to lie and say I always believed in him. 7, 8 weeks ago, I'm screaming, get Eli out of New York. Things weren't going right for him. I was screaming, get rid of Coughlin, because I never liked Coughlin when he was with the Jags. You know, but what happened is Jeremy Shockey got hurt that last game against the Patriots, and you know, I think Shockey, they need to trade Shockey, because Shockey not being in his ear is huge, and Tiki not being there is huge. So,
addition by subtraction.
More or less.
Yeah. But yeah.
I just messaged you. Did you get that message?
To my cell phone?
To your Skype.
To my Skype.
Yeah, check it and pause for a second, and then you'll see. All right, I'll be back in 2 seconds.
All right. We're going to pause this, and we'll be right back.
Christ.
Yeah, I think... Okay, yeah, now it's recording again.
Well, I just wanted to bring up a quick bit of bodybuilding news. Not only is the bodybuilding season starting this Saturday with the Ironman Pro, but Reg Park passed away. I know you're not a big bodybuilding fan, but Reg Park was kind of like the influence of what started the whole thing. You know, he passed away from melanoma, actually, a very advanced form, a couple weeks ago. And it's the only time we're mentioning it now, but he's the guy who inspired Arnold and, by extension, inspired the whole, like, health fitness craze, right? So I just figured I'd bring that up. I don't know how many pure bodybuilding fans we have out here, so just thought I wouldn't leave anybody out. Sorry.
Thanks for bringing it up. Hopefully, I'm sure a couple people are into the bodybuilding scene and are interested in that, so
I want to make sure the Fit Cast stays
on top
for everybody. You know, yeah.
Well, next up, we're going to jump into the movies, TVs, games, and music section. First off, I have to ask you, Jimmy, do you watch... Oh, first, this is nothing to do with the show, but Tony just bought a new TV yesterday.
Really?
Nice 42-inch LCD. And
this dude balling.
Well, actually, I kind of helped him out in the buying process when I was...
Oh, you used to work at Best Buy, right?
Yeah, and I helped him... Nice. Try to get a nice cheap TV. Just make sure they don't push any bullshit on him. So, but before that, he was watching movies through on a TV. This is our movie buff, and he watches movies on TV with an RF modulator. Before that,
okay.
I mean, it's horrible picture quality.
Well, I'm not a whole technical advanced person like you are, so I don't really know what to say.
Well, it's like it's like he was hooking it up through the cable line. I mean, and he doesn't have surround sound.
Damn you, Tony, for not having surround sound. What the hell are you thinking? I don't have surround sound.
I know. You don't have surround sound, dude. You can get a nice system for like $110, but.
Well, I'm not Kevin Larrabee, okay?
That's all right. I don't bowl that way.
I need someone emailed me about a. I'll get an Xbox and PS3. And I said, listen, I'd get that in a heartbeat so I could whoop Kevin's butt. I could whoop Mike Robinson's butt.
Do they offer you a 360?
No, they were just saying, like, oh, you need to get one. I'm like, listen, I'm with it, man. I'm with it.
Okay. Well, then I think you should pick one up.
Sure.
Especially if you have some extra spending money.
Sure. I honestly don't play video games that much. Like I'm hip, you know, like the kids say, but I just don't. I don't play them that much, I guess, anymore.
Wow, you're an adult.
Well, Kevin, some of us go on dates with females as opposed to you. And I'm not saying anything bad about that. Now, first of all, okay, let me take that back. That was just a shot at Kevin because he left himself open. It has nothing to do with video gamers because I am a video gamer. I love video games, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying anything about video gamers there, but.
Well, I think that there's a pretty big backlash in the mainstream media against gamers. They think that there was just a story. It was in some New York. It was in one of the New York papers or in the New York magazine where the author was saying how the men of our generation right now are like man boys, and they aren't growing up because they're still playing video games. And I the one thing I just against that is that, I mean, games from 20 years ago and games to today are completely different. Like, you can have an actual story in a game now. When you think of, like, Jimmy, you probably played, like, Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, like, I agree with you. Like, games now, I was talking to somebody yesterday, a guy in his 40s, you know, who has Xbox for his son, but he, you know, he buys some games for himself. And, I mean, you know, I you know, can definitely see why. The games are different now. It's not like, back in the day, video games were like, you know, even the Super Nintendo was a 16-bit one.
Yeah.
Like, even then, like, the games weren't cool. Like, now, you know, the new, not Metal Gear, Medal of Honor 4, you know, Modern Warfare, like, those games are, like, really cool.
And, oh, you mean Call of Duty 4?
Yeah, Call of Duty 4, like, I mean, like, those games are actually, just, you know, sick. So, like, you could be playing them, and it's like, just like you're in the game. And plus, now, with, like, all the, interactive stuff you could do, like online and everything, like it's completely different now, dude. It's not like it was,
and it's a lot more social. I mean, like, it's a great way for me to stay in contact with my friends that are around the country at other colleges. We can jump on Xbox Live and we can play Madden or we can play.
Yeah, especially
Halo.
You as like a college student, but still, I mean, even like I don't think, you know, the whole thing video gamers are generally, you know, loners and whatever. I don't agree with that, like. I mean, everybody loves playing video games, and especially now, again, with all the like, interaction there, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't see it as a bad thing, as long as they're still, obviously, getting outside and getting regular exercise. Damn it, this volume thing, it keeps turning down my mic volume by itself.
That sucks.
It does suck. I'm going to have to see if I can research how to fix that. But, like, I mean, I don't see there's any problem. Like, Mike Robertson, is he considered an adult? And he plays Halo 3 with us. Like
Mike's what, 27, 28? Mike's not older than that, is he? I mean, don't say his age if he is, but
no,
I think
he's... Yeah, I think he's 27.
Yeah, so, like, dude, that's not old by any means. Like, so... I don't know. I guess people just have the old misconception that video games are for kids now, but when you look at the
For anyone who does play games, if you just look at some of the, like, the latest top sellers, where a lot of them are story driven. Like, you look at Halo 3. I mean, a lot of people play it to play online, but a lot of people also like it because of the story behind it.
The thing with Halo 3 though is Halo doesn't have, when you talk about stories, Halo doesn't have stories like other video games have stories. Like the other stuff has, like Metal Gear or Resident Evil. You know,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought Grand Theft Auto was supposed to come out for PS3 in February. I don't know if it's still
coming out. It's coming out April 29th now.
Oh, they moved it back again? Like,
and it sucks. That's like the week of my final, so I'm obviously not going to play it.
Yeah, and which will suck, too. I mean, and that game might honestly make me get a PlayStation 3 because I'm a huge fan of Grand Theft Auto. But those games have storylines. Like, you know, the last GTA was Vice City. Was it Vice City?
San Andreas.
It was San Andreas, but that has a story to it. Like, the Metal Gears have a story. Resident Evil has a story. You know, Halo, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but Halo doesn't have, like, a backstory. Like, they don't even give the guy a name or a face.
Yeah, they do. It's Master Chief, baby.
Is it really?
They got this whole backstory with the enemies. There's multiple enemies. There's books about the game. Like,
really?
They have books that tell, like, backstory.
Yeah, but that's not, like, that's people spinning it off, right?
No, this is from the writers of the game. They've actually made books. Yeah, they make books to kind of deepen the story for it. And that, I mean, I was looking forward to Halo 3 so far because it was like their slogan was "Finish the fight," because you get to see the finish of a story that you've been a part of since like 2001. I think Xbox came out with the first Halo, and I mean, it's taken 6 years to really finish up the trilogy, just like someone would look forward to Star Wars or some other trilogy. I don't see why it's any different. Like, you want to see the end, or I guess The Godfather, although I haven't seen The Godfather movies. I know I'm a...
What?
I know.
Dude, I could quote that, like, line for line. The first one, I mean, they get progressively worse, but the first one, like, the first hour and a half of the first movie is probably the best hour and a half, 2 hours of any movie that will ever be created. Like,
maybe I'll get
ridiculous.
It on DVD because they have them on DVD at the library here at school. I might pick them up.
Do they? That's Keene State. I didn't know Keene State got
that. They got like a couple hundred DVDs now. That's
my college
big thing.
See, that makes me feel old. Christ.
Yeah. But what else? I mean, and especially people who play 360 and they played BioShock, they know what I mean. BioShock is the most powerful game I probably ever played in terms of emotion and making you actually care about the game. And although the ending sucked, like the first 80% of the game was great. And I think that in the future, I mean, it's just going to get more and more respect as, I mean, they're talking about games now that make more money than movies.
Yeah, dude. And a lot of,
Halo 3 had the biggest one day of sales of any piece of media ever.
Yeah, and a lot of games are becoming movies now. Hitman, you know, crossed over.
Yeah,
Resident
but they all suck. Resident Evil was alright.
Not all of them sucked.
Did you see Hitman?
No, I didn't see Hitman. Well, you know, when you think about talking about things that suck,
have you seen like the Mario Brothers movie? That was pretty
horrible.
Bad.
horrible.
Mortal Kombat was good.
Mortal Kombat was good. Like, the cartoons, though. Street Fighter was horrible. Jean-Claude Van Damme, remember that?
That was junk.
The comic books that are becoming movies are cool now, though. You know, like, The Punisher was good. Not too happy about Iron Man coming out.
What? How are you not so pumped
First of all,
up for
Iron
that
Man
movie?
Wasn't a cool character. Tony Stark was, like, a drunk who was a billionaire and made a suit.
That's
cool.
Exactly why this movie is going to be great, because the guy that... who's playing him, Robert Downey Jr., is a drunk and a drug addict. It's the perfect role. I'm pumped, and it's also directed by Jon Favreau, who not only was the crazy linebacker in The Replacements, but he's also directed Elf.
Yeah.
Which, pretty random comment. Let's see if we can knock out some of the other things I want to talk about. Terminator TV show, did you watch that, Jimmy?
No, I refuse to. I'm a big Arnold fan, and and what they're doing is now they're starting to do another trilogy of Terminator movies that are set in the future, like...
Yeah, but, dude, it's going to have Christian Bale. That's what I heard.
I didn't hear that. I read it in, like, in some magazine last month. I didn't read that Christian Bale was in it. I read they were trying to get like muscular guys to play the lead Terminator, whether it's an unknown bodybuilder or it's like someone like The Rock or like a Triple H or
yeah, it sounds like person. Sounds like something like The Rock would do.
Yeah, I mean they're trying to do stuff like that, but they said they're leaving it open for Arnold to have a cameo. I don't know how you cannot have a Terminator without Arnold in it.
Dude,
I personally
Arnold looks like Arnold looks like shit.
No, he doesn't.
I just saw a video of him from like a week ago. About
first of all, dude, he's like 65. He's in office. He runs 12% of the country because he's the governor of California. So like, I mean, the man ain't gonna be in the gym pumping iron doing splits like he did every day. But the thing is this: everybody points to that photo of Arnold in like the Speedo or whatever that got passed around online before Terminator 3. Yeah. People talk about how he looks like crap there, and he did. But look at the shape he got in for Terminator 3.
Oh, he looked great.
He was in better shape than half the guys who, you know, write about it all day, you know, saying how big they are. So, yeah. Like, he was in enormous shape.
Well, I think if you're not watching the Terminator TV series because Arnold's not in it, you're missing out because the lead actress, the woman that plays the Terminator who was on, she used to be on... Firefly. She is gorgeous, yeah. And she is it's a totally different take on it because she's not obviously super powerful, but she can do other things that other Terminators can't. Like, she can blend in more into cool. the crowd. So
cool.
It's a really good show, and I look forward to it every Monday night. I TiVo it, and I usually watch it when I get home from work. So
it's awesome.
Also, kind of part of that is that the writer's strike is over, so we won't have to worry about too much reality TV.
Oh, that means my show Kane can come back, man. I love that show.
What show?
Kane with Jimmy Smits. It's on CBS on Tuesdays. Oh, it's an awesome show, dude.
Kane?
Kane, C-A-N-E. He's like an orphan that gets adopted to like a family that owns sugar cane farms in Florida, and it becomes this whole mob thing. It's
you
actually
just
pretty
like
cool.
It because he has almost the same name as you.
No, I like it because it's a damn good show. How about that, biatch?
Jimmy Smits. Yeah, I don't like this guy. This is the guy from, like, Law & Order. Oh, no, from NYPD Blue.
I got to watch him. Have you seen Scarface recently?
He really made the Star Wars movies that much better.
Well, dude, first of all, he did it. He's better than Jar Jar Binks, okay?
Oh. Yeah, wow, that's great.
But have you seen Scarface recently, dude?
I saw it, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Why?
Well,
that's a great video game, too, if you played the Scarface game.
Dude, that game's good. The Godfather video game's awful.
Oh, Scarface is great.
I stopped playing, though. I got to, like, half of the F done, you know, because, like, your progress is measured by if you can fill up the whole Scarface name.
Yeah.
I got to, like, half the F being filled up, and I just stopped playing it, and, like, I just haven't got back to playing it. But, yeah, it's awesome. It's fun.
So what were you saying about Scarface?
Oh, I was saying I'm going to watch it again tonight. I just haven't seen it in a while. I love it. I can quoted a lot, so
you know what I got the urge to is I watched Back to the Future 1 last night.
Good movie.
I've seen all three of those movies over 150 times, and that's not an exaggeration. I grew up with those movies, and ever since then, that's been my favorite trilogy of movies. Just great story, and part of me wants them to make a fourth one with CGI, but
yeah,
it's probably obviously Michael J. Fox can never do a fourth one.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I mean, I like them. I'm happy they're making the Hulk now, like the last one didn't happen, but
yeah, it's going to be better because it actually is going to have a good cast.
You ready to get the show started, bud? You think we talked enough off topic today?
Two more quick things.
Oh, sorry.
First off, for the music, Kanye West, Good Life, great song.
Dude, this song's been out for months.
I know, but I just, like, listened to it today again before
you're
the show, and I was just, like, just nodding my head. It's just great.
Oh, yeah? You had a little head nod going on?
I had the head nod going, and I was loving it. And also, the Bravery. It's kind of like an alternative rock band. Pretty good. They have, like, I think they play their songs on, like, ESPN and stuff sometimes. They have that song, Believe, and also... something else. I forget.
That's cool.
And I think that is it. So,
what does Jimmy watch besides reality TV? Was that the question you
yeah.
wanted to go? I watch Kane, but it's not on. So, like,
I think it's
going
to be canceled, dude.
It's not going to be canceled. I watch
Friday
Raw,
Night.
I watch
looks like Friday Night Lights is getting canceled. And that's one of my favorite shows. I'm pissed.
No, I don't watch that. I watch Raw. I'm a big wrestling fan.
You still watch wrestling?
Still watch it. I play in their team for corporate basketball because obviously I live in Stanford and that's where the headquarters is. So
are you serious?
I'm the ringer on their corporate team. We're actually 7-0.
Who's on your team? Like anyone that?
No, there's no if anybody's familiar with wrestling, Coach Jonathan Coachman used to play.
Yep.
He doesn't do it anymore because some obligations. But it's all corporate guys. And funny thing is, you know, people will come up to us and. Like, one guy pulled me over to the side last week before our game started, and he was like, you work for WWE? So, of course, I'm saying yes, because you don't want to tell him you have ringers. And he's like, oh, you see any of the guys? I'm like, all the time, yeah. You know, like, cause, and like, people will ask us questions, or they'll be like, you know, we get one comment per game. Like, there's myself, who's pretty well-built, and one or two other guys that are well-built. Like, I don't mean well-built like, you know, the guys on TV, but we're muscular. And there's we'll get, like, one steroid comment. Or, like, when we foul somebody, they'll be like, oh, he came off the top rope. Or they'll be like, oh, you're big. Like, some guy, we beat some team last week, and the guy comes up to me, and he's like, you look bigger on TV. I don't know if he was bullshitting or if he thought I was, like, a guy on TV. I don't know. So, like...
Yeah, I don't think you look like any of the current wrestlers right now.
I don't think I do either. I mean, but one of the guys was doing, like, the Shawn Michaels pose, like, before the game. Like, so we get dumb stuff like that. But, yeah, I watch wrestling. I'm a big UFC fan, so anytime I'm flipping through Spike TV, I watch it. I really haven't been watching much TV lately. Like, I'm a huge Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fan, so whether it's on reruns
or TBS,
I watch it, love the show, love it. I'm a big fan of The Shield. If anybody else out there watches The Shield, Michael Chiklis, it's not on right now. I think it's coming up for its last season in March. I don't know if the writer's strike affected it at all, which I absolutely love it. It's on FX. And I have all the DVDs of it, but that's about it for my TV. You know, I watch
about,
like a lot of
celebrity. What's it called? Celebrity Rehab. I figured you.
No,
might
I don't watch
that.
But what I do watch is Making the Band 4 on MTV.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it, you know, it sucks because it's on Monday night, which is wrestling too. I got to catch some repeats. Well, it's because I'm a big P. Diddy fan. That's all. I watch a lot of, like, the A&E biography.
He has a new television movie coming out.
Does he? I wasn't aware of that.
And it actually looks like it's. It got, like, good reviews. Like, he was a good, had a good performance, and he's starring in it.
Well, it's Diddy, man. Diddy's, you know. But that's basically what Jimmy watches. And a lot of college basketball. Huge UConn fan. You know, in Connecticut, we don't really have a lot of our own. We just have UConn, and so we were pretty hot now. A pretty hot streak, so.
Celtics beat Spurs today.
What's that?
Celtics beat the Spurs 98-90.
Yeah, but the Celtics almost lost to the T-Wolves the other night, dude. I wouldn't be too proud.
Well, it's because they're playing against their old teammates, and they're trying to show them up.
The Celtics, I don't know what to say about them this year, dude.
Oh, sorry, they don't have Kevin Garnett for the last 3 weeks, so I'm sorry they've only lost one game since Garnett's been out. That's horrible.
No, my whole point is that, like, I don't know.
Because the Celtics...
Like, can we get the show going, please? We've been off topic for the last half hour.
Okay.
And if Kevin didn't have to stop the phone to go stop the call to go to bathroom because he ate bad crab cake, he'd be okay.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to stop recording and record the main show.